This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Kaki Repair is a movement to encourage people to repair their sport belongings rather than throw them away and get a new one. Mind you, it's not a repair shop, but a place to learn to fix stuff by yourself. I find out more about this non-profit movement advocating for us all to recycle, reduce and reuse from Johnson Lam, the founder of Kaki DIY and the brains behind Kaki Repair. Welcome, Johnson. How are you today?
Hello. Yeah, happy to be here. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. So, I mean, I've been reading so much about Kaki Repair, and I was like, we have to have you on. But before that, I was reading a bit about you, and I know that you loved to fix things when you were growing up. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, yeah, because I grew up in a small kampung, so there's nothing much there. So usually I have to fix broken toys, fix my own bikes, and you know, build my own toys as well. So from there, I actually learned out and realized that, wow, fixing and making stuff is really very fun. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I also have the joy of sharing with others. So I guess these two things add together and it became what we have today.
Okay, and I mean, you know, sitting in the kampung, you just taught yourself how to tinker about with things, you know, it was purely self-taught?
Yeah, purely self-taught, sort of lah. I mean, I think I'm good at observating, looking at stuff and learning from there. I learned a lot from my grandmother, which is my mother's mother.
Okay.
Yeah, she lived in a jungle, and then from there, with nothing and just resources around her, she managed to build a house and build chicken coops and even an oven to bake stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, to make nyonya kuehs and stuff like that. And the oven she made is actually out of just zinc and coconut husk and bricks, that's all.
Amazing. And how did she teach herself to do that? I mean, do you know, it was just sort of something that was passed down? Did you ever ask her?
Yeah, actually, never really asked her though. I think also by observation and probably, yeah, passed down.
Mm-mm. Okay, all right. So so that kind of sparked that interest in you, and then you started doing it. And then I was reading that you used to be very active on online forums, as an adult, obviously, offering help through this medium. You were even called the DIY King.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, those were back in the 1999, early 2000s, right? So that time, there's no such thing as Facebook and YouTube. And I was actually quite a shy person. So the best thing I had is hiding behind an avatar and then just posting things online, right? Yeah. So those were the days in college, and I started to be really crazy over cars. I think just like most college boys do, right?
Okay.
But as usual, I came from the village, so I don't have much means. So I drive around in industrial areas, finding junks from behind offices and renovation and things like that, and build them into performance parts.
Wow.
And then, yeah, I realized that it works. And back into the forum, I start posting steps by steps about things that I build, how I do it, how I repair, and things like that. And I get a lot of sense of achievement because there's a lot of followings. People start commenting and adding these ideas. And we actually started a few rounds of repair sessions.
Even then,
it wasn't branded or something like that, right? So we have like little gatherings under the tree in empty car parks. Yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah, we started building car performance parts and all this from just materials that we can find from either the junkyard, or you can buy it cheaply from hardware stores.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you modify an air intake, right, usually you would need to spend like 200-300 ringgit.
Yeah.
But we can just build it below 7 ringgit kind of thing.
Yeah. Amazing. So, I mean, you just go scouting around like really like this junk collectors la, and just look for whatever you could find.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And because I think maybe that gives me a little bit of confidence. And then also it's like a validation that these things actually kind of work and I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started sharing even more and more. So I think over the span of maybe 5 years, I shared over 150 articles in various forums online.
Wow.
Yeah, and because of that, then they started to just call me JL by my initials, or just DIY King. So yeah, kind of cool.
It is very cool. And I know that then forums slowly died and you actually lost all of those articles, which is kind of why Kaki DIY got its start.
Yes, correct. So that's like maybe 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So even the forums that I'm really active in, so I was in this car club, right? And then they decided that, okay, now people are on Facebooks and things like that, so forums, no one is reading anymore, and then they start to shut down. So three of my favorite forums start to shut down over the span of 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then at the same time, I lost a lot of articles. And I was thinking, why not let's put everything into one particular space?
Mm-hmm.
And then, what would be a good name for it, right? Yeah, because everyone keeps saying like all these DIYs is Johnson's DIY,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool. But actually, at the same time, one day, what if I'm no longer here? And then I don't want this to be like a legacy and things stopped
mm-hmm.
and people continue doing DIYs, right?
Yeah.
So then I was thinking, okay, DIY, and people call me DIY King, and this is Malaysia. Why not call it Kaki DIY?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's multiple meanings behind it. Number one, because we are Malaysians, so we have people who love football, and we have Kaki Bola, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so we have people who love cars, we have Kaki Kereta. People who love DIY should call Kaki DIY.
Sure.
That's number one. Second, because I'm Hokkien.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Hokkien, the word Kaki actually means yourself. So
oh.
Kaki Lai, Katicho, Kaki DIY. Yeah.
Okay, all right. And okay, so from there, I think lots and lots of projects have sprung up. And maybe you can tell me what sort of like the core intention for Kaki DIY is.
Okay, so originally I started off Kaki DIY just automotive DIY kind of content and forum, right? Then I start to realize that this DIY thing have a lot of potential, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not just for cars, because end of the day, today's demographic, people who modify and fix their own cars are getting lesser and lesser.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, even myself, because number one, it's so much easier to just let other people fix.
Yeah.
It's because a lot of things are electronic right now. It's controlled by the ECU of the car. You can't really touch anything without breaking it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to invest into very expensive proprietary computer, which I purchased one for my previous car. And then, you know, you can't really do it anymore these days. Besides, the potential of it can be so much so that number one, it can help to, you know, reduce waste and all that around you. Number two, it can help to educate people, because I start to realize, especially these few days, that all this hands-on skill, like Kamaira and Hidup, is no longer being like concentrated and taught in schools. So this can be a good thing where we can look into different type of contents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when Kaki DIY started to concentrate on also, you know, household items where you can upcycle all these junks into furnitures.
Mm-hmm.
You can build your own devices. Okay, we also look into trends such as like drones and 3D printing.
Yes.
Yeah, because we realized that when we first started, right, if we are just going out there and shout all about like, you know, upcycling and recycling, reducing junks, the younger generation, right, will not really get it.
Okay.
And they won't find much interest in it. Okay, maybe a few percentage. Yeah, but where to get their interest is let's look at the current trend. So 2-3 years ago, we were searching online. We found that the current trend is AR/VR, drones, and 3D printing.
Yep.
So we use the same trend, the same technologies, but we cross over to upcycling and DIY.
Right.
So we build your own drone. We build your own 3D
printers. Yeah.
Yeah. We build your own AR/VR devices using just junks and things you can find around you.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we link that education part of it into our focus and stuff.
And this is purely, it's purely voluntary, right? You're not charging anybody anything. It was a just come and learn sort of situation.
Yeah, there's multiple layers in Kaki DIY. So Kaki DIY, we have the core team behind who comes up with all these ideas and contents, and we run workshops and all that. So that one is the business layer where
sure.
we fund ourselves. However, everything else, for example, the movements that we run together, like Kaki Repair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the exhibitions that we come out into to teach people to do all these things. Yeah, all these talks and the 101 sessions that we call them.
Yep.
Yeah, these are all purely voluntary and it's free.
Okay, all right. But let's talk about the business side of it. So you do have like workshops for people to come and learn things. I saw some upcycling projects, you know, how to make like toys, for example, simple things like that.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah, because end of the day, yeah, although when we first started, I've been self-funding all this from my salary and things like that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's good. But I realized that to be able to scale this, we have to find ways to self-sustain this community.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we look into ways to, you know, to find some income. So running workshops and doing events, yeah, that's the best way. Because at the same time, you have a win-win situation. People come and learn. At the same time, you can also pay your volunteers or your people to come and run.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, also, you can actually inspire another group elsewhere in another state to pick it up and run it as well.
Okay, all right. And I know you guys are behind the Garage KL Oven Ampang. You know, I used to see it all the time driving on MRR2, and I was like, what is this fascinating place? And that's something that you guys came up with.
Not really. We are just part of the community.
Okay.
So the Garage KL, yeah, it's actually started by Tengku Asman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He is a visionary. He's not really, you know, into all these things that time.
Okay.
Yeah. He was also a garage guy, automotive guy.
Okay.
Yeah. But his vision was to build something which is self-sustainable. Yeah. And use all these waste and junks and resources he can find. So what happened was one day he stumbled upon this plain empty area with some, you know, abandoned containers and metals and all that. Then he was like, hey, why not I stack up a few containers and build it into a structure, right?
Yeah.
And just like 9 months later, that's Garage KL.
Wow.
Yeah, so he stacked it up and built it. And he was thinking about the whole sustainability as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he said like, okay, first you must have things like, of course his passion is into cars. So he have an automotive garage there. His second passion is actually into food. So he built his own cafe there, which is very successful. And then the third one is actually into community building. So that's when we came in.
Mm-hmm.
And also along with other communities. So there are like toy communities there. You can find Hot Wheels communities there.
Lovely.
Yeah, upcycling, recycling communities. There's even an urban farming community building their startups, planting vegetables in a container.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's how we all came together. And then, yeah, that's where Kaki Repair was launched actually 11 months ago as well.
Okay, and we'll find out a bit more about Kaki Repair after this quick break. I'm speaking to Johnson Lam. He's the founder of Kaki DIY. He's also the founder of Kaki Repair. And we're finding out more about how he's, getting people to not lose it and to reuse things that have, been spoiled. And, you know, he runs these free workshops to help people learn how to fix their own spoiled items. We'll find out more after this quick break. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today is Johnson Lam. He is the founder of Kaki DIY and also the brains behind Kaki Repair. And before we talk about Kaki Repair, I know another part of Kaki DIY under the umbrella of Kaki DIY is Maker Lab. So tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, so basically, I think over in the US and in more advanced countries, right, people heard about this term called maker spaces.
Yep.
Basically, it's just a big space like co-working space where you have all kinds of making tools, makers tools. Then people can come in and build and make stuff. So that's what generally Maker Lab is. So we started off with an empty space with some tools and then let entrepreneurs and people build their own, you know, creations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So our first Maker Lab was actually in Cyberjaya. And then we realized that, okay, reality check. After a while, we realized that, okay, maybe our community is not so advanced and ready yet, okay? Although in the Maker Lab, we have things like 3D printers, we have laser cutters, we even have invested into CNC machines.
Wow.
Right. So 99% of people will be like, CN what?
Fair enough, yes. Fair enough.
So we realized that, okay, maybe first of all, we need to do this advocate and educating people about what makerspace is all about first. Before jumping into the bandwagon of, yay, we too have a cool makerspace, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And secondly, we realized that also that, okay, in maybe more advanced or first world countries, right, people are ready that, the community are not so much into chasing after earning money and building their careers and stuff like that, but more into enriching ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Over here, I think a vast majority, especially the city folks, are still busy making money. Busy finding money, like BFM.
Finding and busy spending money, yes.
Yeah. So I think the part where, you know, you really sit down and think about, oh, what to invent and what to make is not really there yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also look at the entrepreneurship landscape. We are here building more like tech startups on apps,
yes.
Right? Software rather than hardware. Okay, so maybe because of that, the ecosystem wasn't quite ready for makerspace yet, right? So then we start to take a step back and look at what makerspace can be, okay? So number one is what we focus in Maker Lab is, workshops and education for children. Okay. Because we want to be like this supplementary for Khmer Rouge, where, you know, in school, if you go, I mean, you go to school, you learn subjects, you come out, you have tuitions for it. Yeah. But if you go to school, you do laboratory stuff, you come back home, you don't have the tool, you don't have the space for it, right?
Yep.
So Maker Lab can be your space for it, right? That's number one. Number two is we wanted to advocate more into diagnosing and repairing, because we realized that without these fundamental skills, it's quite hard for you to jump to the next level where you actually invent creatively and making stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah, because over the years when we first started, right, we talked to a lot of people about like, hey, how come you haven't jumped into making your own prototype? A lot of people say that because they are so into, you know, thinking about the business sense of it and things like that, that they don't really have the skill set to make stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then, okay, if you want to fix this problem, let's start off with the most basic step. So that's where actually Khaki Repair came about.
Okay.
Yeah, because we realized that, okay, we need to take one step back and then, you know, teach people to repair and diagnose stuff, and then you can go to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Although that was it, but we did have some success stories. So in the Maker Lab, we have two communities that I want to call up. One of them, a bunch of university students just graduated, looked into 3D printing and realized that 3D printers in Malaysia are a little bit more expensive because we have to import, right?
Yep.
They have also we can also get access to very cheap 3D printers where you just buy online and assemble yourself.
Yeah.
But usually those, the quality are a little bit bad, okay? Although those days in Khaki DIY, we do teach people to build your own 3D printers too, but these are very entry-level ones. So these students, they took this challenge, solved the problem of making 3D printers cheaper, easier to use. At the same time, when they build it, it's in par with those very high-end ones.
Amazing.
Yeah. And they came out from this community. We worked together. And today, they are very successful. They already in the process of patenting their system. And they're already selling hundreds of these 3D printers in Malaysia.
At a fraction of the cost, I imagine, from, you know, rather than importing it from overseas.
Yes, correct. So if you put two 3D printers side by side with a similar functionality and capability, yeah, and theirs is just like 1/5 of the cost.
Okay, all right. And there's a second group that you said, there were two groups. What was the second group?
So the second group are the drone guys.
Okay.
Yeah, they too originally wanted to build their own drones for all kinds of application. But in the end, they focus into one particular one first, which is data gathering and agricultural.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Today, they also made it already. They went through a few competition and even went through a few in ASEAN. All these entrepreneurship and startup groups. Today they are doing huge commercial drones, doing data gathering for agricultural and even looking into automating like spraying of insects and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. All right. So wow, so much has sprung from this.
It was all from the community spirit that it came from.
And speaking of that, you know, I mean, Khaki Repair, you know, you move around in a modified van, or used to at least, driving across Malaysia, helping people, you know, conducting free classes. But talk to me about that that van first. How did you make that by yourself?
Okay, so originally I had a bigger idea of it. So I actually bought a bus, a very old secondhand bus, to make it into a moving makerspace.
Wow.
Yeah, so I have the big grand idea of, you know, you go into the bus, you have all your workshops inside, it can be converted into classroom, you can sit like 12 people comfortably, and then we can go to rural areas, right? I jump into that idea too fast because, number one, I alone can't drive the bus yet because I don't have this D driving license or something like that. Okay, that's one problem. Second is, I'm not sure about now. Previously, it's almost next to impossible to get this approved.
Okay.
Yeah, legally on the road because I'm modifying the structure of the bus and things like that, yada, yada. And I heard that there's someone else who did something similar, like you making this bus into a moving restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and the bus has been stuck inside, you know, that time was sparred for a year.
Okay.
Yeah, so after that, I sold off the bus and got something more manageable, which is a van, very old van. And it's my hobby to build up stuff, right?
So, yeah, especially automobiles, right?
Yeah. So I empty out the van and I build it inside to have all these cabinets and brackets for my tools. Mm-hmm. And then the 3D printing startup, Micro Engineering, also, because we all came from the community, right? So they contribute back to the community by sponsoring us a 3D printer.
Okay.
But we work together to work on this very special 3D printer because it runs off 12 volts, okay? Which means it can run from the van's battery.
Right.
Yeah. And the van is actually self-sustainable because in the van, I've built double batteries. Mm-hmm. The second one is an auxiliary battery. When I travel to some place, the van will charge the second battery. Or when I parked somewhere under the sun, the solar panels on the roof will charge up the battery as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because it's solar powered. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So the 3D printers and the power tools and all that is actually drawing power directly from the van. So it's totally off-grid.
That's amazing. You've never thought of patenting that and making it... teaching more people to do that, to have these off-the-grid sort of automobiles?
Teaching people, yes. Patenting it, actually, this idea wasn't new.
Okay.
Just that maybe there's not a lot of DIYers in Malaysia doing that.
Sure.
There's another group here in Malaysia, which I'm also very active in. It's the caravan and the camper van group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are actually using this to build a system for their fridge and all their camping equipments and all that. When they are camping around Malaysia and also off-roading all the way to, anywhere, Germany and stuff like that.
Amazing. Mm-mm. Okay, so let's talk about Kaki Repair now. So people sign up, right? Online, you have an Eventbrite event announcements and then people kind of sign up. So, I mean, walk us through that process. How does one actually, come for a session?
Yeah. Okay, so basically, since we are trying to keep this as low cost as possible. So everything that's free, we'll use it, right? So, yeah. So Facebook...
Wise decision, yeah.
Yeah. So usually this is how we do it. We will post it. We'll post the event on Eventbrite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a free ticket. The reason why we still doing a ticketing system is because we have to limit the amount of people coming.
Of course.
Yeah. Two reasons why, actually. One is limit the amount of people coming because every time we post up a session like this is really overwhelming and mm-hmm. sometimes we don't have enough volunteers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the second reason is because of that volunteers, right? So that we can gauge and know how many volunteers we have and to be able to help out with the event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in good days, we are very fortunate that we have a ratio of one volunteer to every five people who brings things to repair.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's three steps to the program, right? Mm-hmm. Like how can you walk me through that as well?
Okay, so basically, so you register online, okay? Then you come in with your things to repair, or you come in as a volunteer, okay? So when you come to the session itself, then we usually have a space big enough to have all the different things where you can sit down and then repair with your volunteers, right?
Right.
So the repairing is one of it, okay, the first step.
Sure.
So after you learn about diagnosing and repairing and all that, right, you can... of course, continue to come and volunteer and help people. But the second step from it is actually now that you know how to repair and renew things that are spoiled, maybe it's time for you to put in some of your creativity skills to modify these things with other resources you can find around you, right? The third step is actually innovating now. With your creativity, maybe you make something new.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you combine two equipments into one or something like that, and it might be a new product out there. Yeah.
Amazing.
So these three steps is actually a long shot. Okay. Hope that it works. Okay. But for now, yes, we are all stuck with step number one.
And I think it's great what you're doing because, now when something gets spoiled, right, it's so much easier just to throw it away, right? You don't have to think about it. Everything is readily available. But there is obviously there's a problem with that. There's pollution. There's, so much waste. There's, the cost involved. So, how does Kaki Repair actually come into all of that?
Yeah. Okay. Because... especially today, right, especially on consumer electronics and things like that, manufacturers sometimes purposely make these things not repairable
mm-hmm.
because end of the day, they can sell you more stuff, right?
Yeah.
But the downside of it is, of course, creating more e-waste everywhere. What we can do, number one, is we always recommend e-waste that can't be repaired to be sent to e-waste recycling center. You can find them around in Klang Valley a lot. At the same time, we, of course, try to teach people how to repair it as well. The problem about a lot of this new consumer electronic is the casing itself, okay? Because to get to the electronics, you have to open up the casing. And these manufacturers purposely make this casing to be, you know, they actually glued this casing together. So when you open it up, you will break the case.
Right.
Yeah. Because if you send it back to the original manufacturer to repair it, if they can repair, right, they actually will break the case, repair what's inside, which is usually just replacing the boards, and they will glue back a new case, and then they will charge you with the board and the case. So that's why a lot of electronic devices these days, repairing it sometimes is equals to the cost of buying a new one or even more expensive than buying a latest one.
Okay, all right. So I guess that's just something, that's just a reality that we have to deal with. There's not much we can do about it then.
Yeah, so that's why the I think in the end, the knowledge of knowing what's wrong is very important. Mm-hmm. Because if we know that, okay, this particular thing is usually about the power adapter, mm-hmm. and power adapter, let's say you can easily swap it out, then go ahead, break it up, change this power adapter and then fix it, and then you probably can save your electronic components, right? And if you know that this particular thing, for example, like display units, like LCD TVs and things like that, usually the motherboard is the one that's fried. And to get it repaired is going to be quite expensive. Yeah. But if you get a new one, probably these days it's more powerful. At the same time, it uses less electricity. So in the long run, it's actually safer and better to get a new one than go ahead and get a new one.
Okay. So what sort of things do you actually like kind of repair? You know, I mean, what's kind of the rule for coming in for this?
Yeah. As because we are trying to kickstart and move this movement faster, right? So we don't actually set any rule yet, mm-hmm. except for just one thing. As long as you can bring it to the event yourself and bring it back, you can bring it.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you, some people did, the largest that I have ever seen is actually a 60-inch TV. Okay. the second one to it was this big convection microwave oven. It's a huge one, like this commercial use one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And they actually brought it.
And the fun thing is the convection oven, we managed to fix half of it, as in like the convection thing is working, mm-hmm. but the microwave is not so working. Mm-hmm. But because the person who brought it in was like, their main purpose was just to see whether it can fix, mm-hmm. and to learn something. Mm-hmm. And since they learned something, they donated the whole thing to us.
Wonderful.
So now, yeah, we have a convection oven back in Garage KR right now. Yeah.
Okay. And I guess, you know, because there's so many different things coming, right? And I know people sign up and they sort of alert you to what appliance they're bringing. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
So do you then from there see which volunteers can help out, or mm-hmm. all the volunteers are fully equipped to handle everything thrown their way?
Okay, very, very good question. Yes, we actually need to see what they are bringing in first. Mm. So usually we stand by a lot of electronic and appliances volunteers, because that one usually it's the most.
Okay.
Yeah. But some people, when they sign up, they do put in comments that they bring in additional different stuff. Like, for example, they bring in this huge bag that they put their foldable bicycle in. Yeah, then we have to really like, okay, we need to prepare some sewing kits and some spare parts for the hooks and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, and some of them did pre-empt us actually a month before. That means before our next session even. So that's very good.
Okay, and I guess, I mean, not everything can be fixed, right? That is the reality of it. So what is sort of like the ratio, or would you say the success rate?
All right. Yeah, we gather a lot of data. So we like to look at data to see how we improve. Mm-hmm. So yes, we have a lot of data on that. 25% of the things actually fixed, 20 to 25. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, which is actually not bad.
Not
right?
bad at all, yeah.
Yeah, and it's mostly fixed by the people who brought in. Okay, of course, with the volunteers like helping them to diagnose, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We do not encourage you to just bring in and let the people fix, okay?
Which I suspect session. A lot of people will try to do.
Yeah, that's a lot, like 80%. Yeah. Okay. But 100% of the participants at the end of the session did learn something new. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be something about the appliances. It can be something about the safety of handling things. It can be power saving tips. Mm-hmm. It can be learning how to use a certain tools. So, yeah, they learn something new.
Okay. And like each session is about a few hours a week, or how does it work?
Okay. We try to do it once a month. Mm-hmm. Okay. And usually around 2 to 4 hours, depending on the location and also the amount of people.
Okay, all right. And again, this one, I mean, Kaki Repair is free for all. I mean, any, you just need to register and do, go through that whole process. Yeah. I'm guessing it's, you, there's not much income coming in from this, but, you know, is there any way that you're looking for help maybe, like donations or things like that?
Yeah. So far, okay, we have been running for 11 months. Mm-hmm. Okay, the first half of this whole movement, it was all sort of like donated and funded by the community.
Okay.
So Kaki DIY and all those communities like microengineering and all, who help us, who we grow together. So they donate tools. There's some commercial partners who came in, like, you know, power tools, like Dremel, Bosch, right? Sure. They donate us tools to help us with the whole repair. However, because now we are growing bigger and bigger, where we need more people and volunteers, and we have to replenish a lot of tools because they get broken and stolen, sadly, during our events.
Yeah, oh, people.
Yeah, so after the first 6 months, we started to have this little donation box that people can drop in their, you know, love offerings, and we use that to buy all these things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and also sometimes we have to pay certain rentals of certain places.
Of course.
Yeah, and yeah. And now, actually, just recently, last month, we also started a crowdfunding. The reason why is not because of like we want to make things easier for us and things like that. Because since there's a lot of demand on this, we wanted to start off with a new space.
Okay.
So I want to jumpstart a space in Penang and maybe another space in Johor. And this crowdfund will be to be passed to that community leader to straight away fill up the entire space with all the tools that's needed, and also maybe some for the volunteers to start up a few sessions first.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
So that one recently.
So that's kind of the future plans then?
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess at the end of the day, you are giving people very basic things that maybe we forgot from our Kemahiran Hidup classes, and which can also be used. You know, you can take that home and you can go and fix different things, or you can teach more people. So it's like a roll-on effect, isn't it?
Yes, correct.
Or
yes,
at least that's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, because end of the day, I believe diagnosing skills are actually part and parcel of our daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because for example, looking around you, knowing the problem, okay, looking around you for resources to fix that problem and then fix it, is the same thing as if you're working as an engineer, mm-hmm, or if you're working as a people manager in the office. Because you have to identify what's the problem with your employee first, and then you look around for like, oh, okay, now I have certain resources. Like, for example, I have this person from another team who can maybe buddy system and help you out, and then let's fix the problem, and then let's grow together.
Sure.
It's exactly the same thing.
Okay.
So that's why hopefully from this particular movement, it can also impact other areas in life.
Though I imagine that people, when they come, must be quite afraid. You know, I mean, like maybe you're just not very good at electronics, for example, or I don't know how to use tools. And how do you kind of counter or address all of that?
Yeah, we do have like 50% of the people who usually like, oh, you know, I don't dare to open this because
yeah,
this is electric and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So educating the first fundamental of what's electricity and all that helps. Yeah.
Okay. Back to basics.
Yeah, back to basics. Actually, yeah, from there, we actually spin off recently a new workshop, which is called the Life Skill Workshop. Yeah, which we start from Electrics 101. We're going to go to Plumbing 101 as well. Now, I'm just thinking of how to recreate a mock-up plumbing system in a workshop.
Okay.
Yeah, and in these classes, like for example, Electric 101, we actually call it the Life Skill 101 Electric Edition. We teach you all about, like, you know, your plug points and your fuse. We even teach you how to calculate your own electricity bill, and you can tremendously reduce your bills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also how to fix up simple things like joining wires and changing your fuse and changing your plug points.
And I think, and I imagine there's a great sense of achievement at the end of it, right? Just because we're all, you know, desk bound and, you know, just stuck doing boring things. Just fixing your own thing must have that great sense of achievement.
Yes, yes, it is. And actually, I drew my strength and motivation from the reaction of the people.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I'm still going on, because there's a lot of this energy coming along. And yes, I do realize that sometimes, like maybe geeky people like myself and my gang, right? we're like, oh, changing this fuse in the plug head is so simple and people take for granted. But for another person, it's like, that is maybe one of their first thing that they ever repaired. And you can see that they are really excited and it sparked them. And the next week they came back with even more things. And there's a few participants which I really, really respect them, right? What happened is they run out of things in their home to repair. So they went around their neighborhood like, you want to repair that? Come, come, bring it to me and I will go and learn on how to repair and maybe I can repair it for you kind of thing.
It's wonderful.
And then they came back again and again, yeah.
And then who knows, right? They can start their own little community fixer. I guess maybe they just need the tools, perhaps. Who knows what it is? But this, yeah, it's just like a roll-on effect. So many things can come from this. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
In all of it, you're doing it, you know, without financial support. You know, it's all voluntary. And I guess, you know, just to conclude, Johnson, what would you hope from people listening? You know, how can they get in touch or, you know, anything that we can help with?
Mm-mm. Okay, yeah. So, first of all, I mean, like, I do believe in all these type of things, whether it's repairing or reducing waste segregation and stuff like that. All this starts from our own attitude first. Just have the can-do attitude to, you know, you can do it. Let's start doing it. And then there's a lot of keyboard warriors out there who just type down and just post online that, oh, we should do this and this is good and stuff like that.
Yep.
But have you ever started doing it, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we should start from that, right? Just mm-hmm. start repairing stuff. You know, sometimes before throwing things away, give it a thought whether it's, you know, this can be repairable or not. But I'm not also saying that everything should be repaired because sometimes, you know, certain things are so cheap, yeah, that, you know, if you repair it, it's going to cost even more and waste even more time.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you know what's going on wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people don't even know what's wrong with it. It's actually just a very, very simple fix, right? Secondly, before, of course, throwing it away is to see whether these things can be recycled or not. At least that's one good step, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, then after that, if you have things to repair, put it aside first. Check out our website or Facebook. Okay, very simple. You can just go to either khakidiy.com or khakirepair.com. Okay, from there, you can go into our Facebook links. The Facebook is usually the more active one.
Mm-hmm.
Khaki Repair has a Facebook group, which is very, very active. You can actually just take a picture of the things that you needed to be repaired. You post it up there. The community will actually help you to diagnose and even suggest you how to repair or where to get it fixed and things like that. Right? It is like a whole big bazaar happening there. Yeah. And then come to one of our sessions. Yeah.
Okay, and that's wonderful because I think one of the things that you are very, you feel very strongly about is that knowledge needs to be shared.
Yes. Indeed, because end of the day, knowledge is, I think, in your brain. You can't even see it, right?
Yeah.
And you can't bring it with you after you've gone. So
right.
Might as well just share it out. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So again, that website is khakidiy.com and khakirepair.com. And there's also the Facebook pages, I think, which we can find by searching for Khaki DIY and Khaki Repair by Khaki DIY.
Mm-mm, yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Johnson, for joining me today. So that was Johnson Lam. And again, those websites are khakidiy.com and khakirepair.com, or you can find them on Facebook by searching for those names as well. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, which is available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.